All right, Exodus. All right. Exodus chapter 30. And got some real exciting stuff about a census. How do you take a census? Okay, let's pray. Okay, y'all got it. You got it figured out. Amen. Okay. Exodus chapter 30, starting in verse 11. The rules can be kind of bland just going through this, but I will say there's just a couple of things you can't get away from that are great about the Bible and the Spirit of God and the God that directs the writing of this whole thing and the consistency of everything that goes on and said. And so what I mean by that is you read some of these things that are kind of dull and just monotonous and like, what is the point of this? And then you find out 500 years later what the point is. what other book does that, but there isn't a human being on the earth that can produce something like that. There has to be outside of our normal cycles of life and time, and it's just the unity of spirit all the way through here. And so we'll read the rules about a census. And how many of you guys remember the episode with David getting in trouble about a census? Anybody remember that? Not really? Some of y'all do? Okay. Okay, well that one, that happens. It's kind of tagged on at the end of 2 Samuel. It's not in chronological order, but it's put on at the end of the book there. And David gets in trouble, and he's given a choice of essentially, you know, you can be, you know, 30,000 people can die, or I can have an enemy can come in and start sieging you for 3 months, or, you know, whatever the case is, a plague can sweep through for 3 days. And it's kind of like, what do you want to happen? And because he got in trouble with the census. And so That may not make sense unless you get the law of the census. And that makes it make sense what's happened between God and David and his dealings with the people there. So, Exodus chapter 30, starting in verse 11, it's just five or six verses here. And it says this: "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 2 gerahs. And I don't know what 2 gerahs is, but that's what it is. A half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls." So this is the law of the census. And right at the outset, this was going to be obviously tied to the service in the tabernacle and the money prescribed. It's kind of like a tax. But this is the way to do it. If they're the 20 years old and over, get counted. And then everyone that's going to be counted has to provide a ransom, and the money is the ransom. And nobody gives less, nobody gives more. The ransom is the ransom. That's what it cost to be counted among the people. And so that said, let's pray. And I mean, you got the gist of it. This is the law. This is the rule. And so this is the instructions for the census. And so, what do you learn from it? What do you learn from it? But let's pray, and we'll talk about it. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the mayors being able to come over and present what's going on with their kind of a change in the ministry, but. I thank you that they were able to come down here and present all that and encourage us. And so pray to give them good meetings going forward, and then help us this afternoon as we go through your words about some of these rules that may not seem to make sense. I mean, we're just kind of like kids sometimes, and the rules don't make sense until they do make sense, and then it's kind of an aha, oh, okay, that's what we're talking about. And so, but you knew that all the time, so that's encouraging. And I pray that you'd help us understand these things, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so five or six verses, you get the law down. It's pretty straightforward. You got 20 years old, and some people have made a deal about being 20 years old, and I think it's, you know, 18 is the law in our country for a lot of things, 21 for some things, but generally like 18 I think is when you're kind of counted as an adult in the country. You can do contracts and stuff and put your name on things. In Israel it was 20 years old. That's when you get counted as a citizen, so to speak, and pay the ransom, and that's like a tax, and that gets your name on the books, so to speak. Now that said, there's a lesson. It seems to be a lesson about the book of life. There's a lot of thoughts about the book of life. Why are people's names being put on it and taken off of it sometimes? When does someone get their name in it? What's happening with their name out of it? All of that. Moses would say one time about he would stand up for the people and plead with God not to blot their names out of the book. Things like that. I'll give you my best estimate on this with the book of life. But it looks like the nation of Israel is recorded. The names are recorded. You have them recorded in the Bible. These names are recorded. And the requirement for ransom in this is important. It's going to be really important with David. But if a soul isn't ransomed, it's no longer counted as part of the community. And so it looks like in the book of life, if there is a literal written down book, or if it's a way of helping us understand how God counts people, looks like the nation of Israel is written in the first covenant. Their names are added as they're born and stuff like that. And then if they're not ransomed, if there's no faith, if they don't trust the God of Israel, they're taken off. And then in the future, after the new covenant, you get names put in under Jesus Christ. And that's sort of a general understanding of it. That's the way I kind of see it at this point. But that said, the rule about taking the ransom, this is the requirement. They've got to be 20 years old, get the ransom, and that counts them as a citizen. And it's important to understand the ransom is the same for everybody. He makes a point of saying that. The rich aren't going to pay more, the poor aren't going to pay less, and the poor aren't going to pay more, and the rich aren't going to pay less. It's all going to be one ransom requirement for everybody. each soul that's going to be counted. So that said, it gives you some indication of what God spiritually, as far as a spiritual and the accounting of souls with God, that a ransom's going to be required if you're going to be counted among the people. And so going forward, that gives you a little bit more about the book of life. And then Paul would talk about the book of life. The book of life is in Revelation. It's all the way back here in Exodus. And so, like I said, if it's a literal book, it's okay. If it's a way for us to understand how God counts people, that's just as well. And so he's definitely helping us understand how he's going to count who are his people. Who are the ones that are his people? So that said, I think you understand the rule here. It's pretty simple about the census. You number the people that are 20 years old and older, and so they pay for their names to essentially be on the books, and the consequence of not paying, the consequence of someone being counted but having no ransom is found in verse 12. Y'all see that? What is the consequence of it? A plague. So if you get counted as someone among God's people, but there's no ransom, there's going to be a plague sent through the people. So I'm going to jump ahead here because, I mean, this lesson's not going to be very long, but I'm going to show you something with David that's very interesting. I thought it was interesting. And I've showed it to you before when we were going through Samuel, but we'll do it again today. But look in 2 Samuel chapter 24. So 2 Samuel chapter 24, this story just reinforces how God counts people and what's required for them to be counted as his people. And you know, in the old covenant, you would pay your way, essentially pay for your ransom. In the new covenant, Jesus Christ is the ransom. He's the payment. But here under the old covenant with David, this is out of chronological order. This thing just gets tacked on at the end of 2 Samuel. And I don't understand all of it other than the Lord is he knows obviously the future for God's sacrifice. The author knows the law that was given hundreds of years before. Remember, David's about 400 years after the law is given. And so there's going to be several things woven together in this. So this isn't the end of David's life. It's just a part that fits somewhere else in 2 Samuel, but it's tacked on at the end of the book. And it says this in 2 Samuel 24, "Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against him to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.' For the king said to Joab, to the captain of the host which was with him, 'Go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people.' And Joab said unto the king, 'Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, hundredfold, and that the eyes of the Lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?'" Why do you want to do this? "Notwithstanding, the king's words prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel." So Joab, apparently there's more, a little bit more going on. You're privy to some of this conversation here. But David wants to do a census, but he's not going to do it the right way. He wants a head count. And Joab knows, as bad as a man Joab is, he knows the law. And he knows this is not the way you do the census. This isn't the way you do this. And if you do it this way, a plague is something's going to happen here. And nevertheless, David's words prevail over Joab's, and he says, "Go count the people. Go get it done, And Joab says, okay, we'll go do it. So verse 5, they passed over Jordan, pitched an Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad toward Jazer. And they came to Gilead, to the land of something. And they came to Danjan and about to Zidon, and came to the stronghold of Tyre, to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites. And they went out to the south. So they went all over the place. And they're counting the people. Verse 9. Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. Now, just if you're not familiar with the law of the census, this doesn't really make any sense. David wants to count people. Okay. He wants to count the people. And the people get counted. And now all of a sudden, David is sorry that the people are counted. And I've heard it said, you know, it's his pride. He wants to, yeah, it's probably some of that. He wants to know who's on his team, who's going to be with him. As much opposition as he's faced throughout his particularly after the whole Bathsheba thing, yeah, his kingdom has been pretty troubled, and so he wants to know kind of what the numbers are. And so it kind of makes sense, but when they get counted, David is all of a sudden, his conscience is stirred up like he's done something wrong. And if you don't have any understanding of the law, it doesn't make any sense why David is so worried about this. Like, you just wanted to count the people and you got them counted. Joab went out, took a few months and counted all the people, and now he gave you the numbers. Verse 10, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. What are you talking about? You counted people. What is so wrong with counting people? What are you talking about? For when David was up in the morning, verse 11, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. All right. What are we worried about? You counted people. Joab went around, took 7 months or so to count them. He gave you the final numbers, and now all of a sudden you're worried about something. So let me ask you guys this. If you read all, what David's done here, and you've read the law now, what do you suspect is missing from David's census? The ransom's missing. These souls they're not a part of God's, they're counting. David did this on his own accord. He did it the way he wanted to do it. And now he's done it. Now he's counted the people. And according to Moses, and if you're going to do this, everybody's got to provide a ransom. Otherwise, you're not a part of the number. And so David gets the number from Joab and then realizes, I messed up. What's missing? A ransom. And this idea, this instruction, this element to the ransom, or this element to the census, this thing, I wish I had some New Testament examples to do this, but I think we'll just do this one today. This teaches you one very clear truth between God's relationship with mankind. And he does it through the nation of Israel, and he does it with this law. And then he reinforces it when David does what he does. Because David's going to eventually say, he'll say this, he'll say, verse 15, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it's enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. So David essentially steps in, sees the carnage from what he's done, and says, Lord, don't stop hurting the people. I did this. I brought this on them. I'm the one that did this. And so, and the Lord's had enough of it too. He stops the whole thing, and this whole place where Arunah and this becomes an important place here in the future. Verse 18, Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked, saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And he said, wherefore is my lord the king come to this his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king, give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arunah, no, I'm not going to take your stuff. I will surely buy it of thee at a price. That was kind of the problem with the census. There wasn't a price paid for the people. And so David says, no, I'm not just going to take it. That was my problem at the beginning. I'm going to pay for this. And so he pays for it. And he says this is a notable phrase from David. He says, where is it? Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, built there an altar unto the Lord, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So you got this weird account. I think you understand what's happened, though. I hope you do. Exodus, 400 years earlier, Moses has given some laws about a census. They seem pretty boring. Just like, you know, hey, you got to be 20 years old. They got to pay this money. If they don't pay the money, there's going to be bad things happen to them. So just make sure that you keep this law. Then David shows up 400 years later, gets a wild hair to just, I need to count people. I need to figure out who's on my team and who's not. And so he goes ahead and counts people, but he doesn't follow the law exactly. He doesn't collect a ransom. So these people aren't ransomed people. And then the Lord does exactly what he said he would do 400 years earlier. A plague gets sent through the people, and David is just brokenhearted about the whole thing, completely broken about the whole thing because he brought this on. But the whole point reinforces how serious, it really does, it reinforces how serious God is about the payment for souls. And the, you know, you talk about the wages of sin, things like that, wages. This is a ransom has to be provided for people, for souls. And so all of this is going to foreshadow Jesus Christ coming. And it's, I would say this, there's an added little thing in this whole episode with David. Because the place that this this happens. It happens around Jerusalem. And 1,000 years after David does this, 1,000 years after David goes through this whole episode, and in fact, you go back in time about 800 years with Abraham, and in the similar area, Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac in the same area. But for sure, in this area around Jerusalem, 1,000 years later, what God's going to do is offer a ransom. And so it's such a great, it's not just the law that's going to be in play, but it's going to be the actual geographical location that's going to be significant as well. And so that all said, it really, some of these laws, I enjoy going through some of this stuff just because it gives you a fuller understanding of God's relationship with man, but then also how he put things in instructions early on so that it could be clearly played out in the future what he's talking about, what's going on here. And so there's probably a lot more to be said about the Book of Life. I didn't delve into that too much. There's probably a lot more to be said about all that. But you understand that God's people, they have to be a ransomed people. They have to have a ransom. And fortunately, you get to the New Covenant, the New Testament, and Jesus Christ, and he is the ransom. He's the payment. So John would say it this way, he's the propitiation of our sins. He's the payment. So hope that's helpful. Learn a little bit about the law and then how that applied in Israel and in the future and some geography there too. So let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here and really allowing the mayors to come in and rest. Hopefully they got some rest and got some things done that they need to get done while they're here. And then I pray that you would continue to help us understand what we're reading. Lots of good stuff in your words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.